The fasting allows you to go through autophagy, allows you to build testosterone and your growth hormones, which people actually spend money to do that.
Physically, your body is perfectly capable of going without food for 48 hours.
Absolutely.
Intermittent fasting, that is something I definitely recommend to do daily.
Check with your doctor, but if fasting is something that you want to start doing, I would highly recommend to start with a 12-hour fast and then slowly increase it every 2 or 3 days.
Sylvia and I did a 48-hour fast, and we started this on Sunday, ended it last night. I wouldn't have done this unless you brought it up to me. The last time I did a long fast was of 72 hours, and it was like roughly 8 months ago. And I remember feeling amazing for the first 2 days, but the last day was very tough, very rough on my body. I just remember sitting in bed, counting down the hours. This 48-hour fast, I have to say, just was, it hit the spot. It was right on point. Why did you decide to do the 48-hour fast?
So this is my third fast, and I actually want to do a fast monthly. So okay. I have it scheduled in my calendar. Every month I do a fast. I always time the fast the week after my period. Okay. You shouldn't do it the week before because your body's under a lot of stress. It will just trigger a reaction that will put you into just like a fight or flight mode, and you don't want that at that time. So that's how I time it out. And for me, it's just a reset every single month. It gets me back to a baseline. It shifts my relationship with food. It shifts my relationship with my mind, my body. And it's just something that I'm gonna keep doing monthly for a while.
I love that you did mention the factor that most people do the fasting for, which is weight loss or fat loss, which is great for people that actually need to lose weight. I would say we're pretty on point with our body fat percentage and our muscle mass. But yes, I'm glad you brought that up, that it was just mainly to reset your body, your metabolism, and also have that relationship with food in terms of, for me, I would say, the relationship with food. Sometimes we take for granted that we constantly have food in front of our face and we take it for granted. And the fast just allows, it makes you realize like, wow, there are people out there like starving for weeks and we're just constantly eating.
Exactly.
And speaking about the fasting in general, the average person eats throughout the day at least 5, 6, 7 times. If you have your 3 meals and you're snacking, you're constantly digesting food and you're never giving your body time to focus on other things and doing its work with other aspects in your body, that's all it focuses on. And the fasting allows you to go through autophagy, allows you to build testosterone and your growth hormones, which people actually spend money to do that. People actually get injections, spend thousands of dollars to get growth hormones. And you can do this easily by just fasting, and it's for free. But of course, it's a very hard, it's a very hard process.
It is difficult. And in terms of why I started fasting originally was really learning about the concept of autophagy, where essentially as you cut out food, your body really eats bad stuff. It eats the weaker cells. It can even eat cancer cells. And then it just prompts this regeneration of stronger cells because your body is like, oh, we need stronger cells to survive. And so it kicks off that process. And I started researching that a few months ago, and that's what really got me starting fasted originally. And then since then, why I fast? I think our relationship to food is more psychological than it is physical. So you can go 2 days. I talk to people all the time. I could never fast for 2 days. I hear this constantly.
Yeah.
And I want to say, yes, you can, because really so much of it is in your head. Physically, your body is perfectly capable of going without food for 48 hours.
Absolutely.
And so it helps you reset the mental relationship with food and focus on like what your physical self can actually accomplish.
Absolutely. And going back to, like you said, people can't resist going 2 days without food. There are people that actually can't even go 12 hours without food because the way our society is structured in general and the food industry, it's like they are capitalizing off of us constantly eating, having breakfast. It's like you don't need to eat breakfast unless you're actually hungry. So people think it's like an automatic response, like you said, the psychological factor. It's like you wake up, oh, I need to have breakfast because that's what everyone does at a specific time. And it's like you need to listen to your body and you need to really, if you don't feel like eating or there's no hunger cues there, then you just continue with your day until you actually feel like, okay, I feel like I need to put some food in my body. And the autophagy, I love the analogy when it comes to autophagy because I know you're a big fan of using leftovers of food in your fridge. And autophagy is the same concept. We constantly have this buildup of food in our body and bacteria and things that are molding that we don't need. And how are we going to get rid of it? We use it and renew it into new forms of energy while we're fasting. And that's how we get rid of that. So the autophagy is the most important part of the fasting process, which usually happens around 16 hours. We'll talk more about this. I want to know, I'll speak about it as well, but what was your experience for the first day or like the first hours? Just take us along your journey.
So I started Sunday night, and so I ate dinner Sunday night, felt totally normal. Woke up the next morning, and because I knew I was fasting that day and the next day, my mind was like, we need food. And I was hungry in the morning, which I normally don't even eat breakfast. Yeah. I know you don't eat breakfast either. I normally don't eat till noon every day. And so I sat here feeling this hungry feeling and was like, this is not real. This is just my mind like thinking ahead to how hungry I'm gonna be and convincing me that I'm hungry.
That you need food, yeah.
And then, you know, an hour went by, that feeling passed. I felt amazing the first day. I felt energized, I felt clear. I swear, colors were brighter. It felt like this layer of fog was stripped away and I could see really clearly and I felt on top of the world. Okay. Amazing. I did a heavy workout the next day. That felt amazing.
The next day as in the day after you?
Day one.
Okay, day one.
So I ate Sunday night. I did a heavy workout Monday morning while I still had that food in my body. And then the rest of that day felt amazing.
Okay.
And then day two in the morning, I did a yoga class. That felt amazing. I was a little tired. Like I could feel certain things it'd be harder to hold a pose than before.
Okay.
But I was able to get into this stillness in that yoga that just felt incredible. And then afterwards I felt like a superhuman on top of the world.
That's amazing. Was the yoga class that you did, was it one of those strenuous yoga classes where you're doing constant isometric holds, or was it more like focused on flexibility and mobility?
It was a pretty strenuous class.
Okay.
And it was heated. Oof. So I drank a lot of water and I was holding isometric poses for a long time and it was challenging, but I felt incredible afterwards.
Okay.
And I was able to get through the whole thing totally fine. And then day two, I felt the hunger start to set in. And I think it was again a mental thing where I'm like, it's day two, I'm gonna eat today.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to eat Tuesday evening. So day two, I felt pretty hungry starting around 11, 12 in the morning. And then throughout the afternoon, I was super busy. I had a lot of work calls. That really helped take my mind off of it.
Absolutely.
Then I was driving home knowing I was going to eat dinner. And I was like, so excited. It was maybe the longest drive home I've experienced. I still felt powerful. I still felt clear. I still felt good. But I was definitely feeling the hunger the next day.
And it's always like that. Once you're about to reach that finish line, you want to give up. Because I'm sure if we decided to commit to a 1 week fast, day five, day six would have been hard. And we're like, we got this. We got 4 days. Mm-hmm. And it's always when you're about to reach the end that your body, your mind essentially starts to give up. So I completely get where you're coming from. But I also wanted to ask you, when you started your fast, what was the last meal you ate?
Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of protein. The last meal I had was steak. There was some sausage. There was some chicken. There was a salad. I had some bone broth with a little bit of vegetables in it.
Okay.
So it was pretty protein heavy and pretty fat heavy as well. That is sustained energy for me. It made me feel really satiated and felt like a great start to the fast.
Absolutely. See, for me, the meal that I ate before I started my fast, I'm not gonna lie, I had a gluten-free pizza. I knew I needed to carb up, which was it the right carb to eat? No. In fact, I wouldn't recommend having pizza as your carbohydrate if you're gonna start a fast. You might wanna do some rice, some quinoa, sweet potatoes. I was just really craving a pizza. And I knew that for those 2 days that while I was fasting, you know, I love to run and doing my cardio is something that is just like so fundamental to include in my life for my mental clarity. So I was like, I'm gonna need these carbs. So I had an entire pie of gluten-free pizza, Mr. O1, the best, the absolute best here in Miami. And then I had a steak and I had some chicken, some grilled chicken with salad and hummus. So that was my meal. And I felt good. And my experience the next day, I woke up a little bit lethargic. That's what usually carbs do to me when I wake up in the morning. So the first thing I did when I woke up, I just got some work done, which wasn't the best thing to do because I told myself when I wake up, I'm gonna go for my run, and that didn't happen. So I got some work done. I was able to disconnect. And then I went to anatomy to do my lower body session. I didn't use a lot of weight. I did like 20% less than what I usually do. I just didn't want to overdo it because I haven't done a 2-day fast in a very long time. And then I finished off with a minute sprint 10 times on level 12.
That's intense.
Yeah. So I did that 10 times and I felt amazing. My energy levels were peaking the entire day. Unlike you, you said you woke up where you felt really hungry, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mine was just more, I felt lethargic, but I wasn't hungry. And then the entire day, energy levels were peaking. The colors, like you mentioned, were more vibrant. And we were like, okay, is it because the sun's coming out? But it was gloomy because the next day, the colors were even more vibrant. But you're just more alert, more aware of your surroundings. I also had this is funny. I had this water drop fall on my t-shirt. And I guess because of the fasting and me being so hyper-focused and alert, that water drop, I literally saw it before it dropped on my t-shirt.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding you. I know, it was crazy.
That's a great example, because I think what fasting does is it just opens your eyes in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, you notice the water drop. For me, when I talk to somebody, I notice how they're feeling. I notice their posture. I notice their body language in a way that I didn't when I'm not fasting. So I agree, there's like a hyper awareness that's triggered when you're in that state.
Absolutely. And I also felt my adrenaline. I'm an adrenaline junkie. So I felt that feeling when I'm about to go and do bungee jumping or go on a roller coaster or do something that it's like you're putting your body in that flight or fight mode. I felt that at random peaks throughout the day, and it was just amazing because I craved that. So doing the fast, I was like, okay, maybe I need to do this more often. Maybe not a 2-day fast, but like even a 24-hour fast and break it properly and still eat the amount of calories that I need to sustain my muscle and not starve myself, because I want to make it clear, we did not do this fast to starve ourselves. It was to reap the benefits from fasting. And that's the biggest difference that people need to understand is like, what are the intentions behind doing the fast? Is it for a meditation? A lot of people do it for meditation. A lot of people, like you said, you do it to create a better relationship with food. People will do it for fat loss, but you need to start the fast with the right mindset. And you also need to keep in mind throughout the fast that the food is available. You can literally break the fast at any point. It's just a matter of having that willpower of not giving into temptation and waiting and resisting till the end and then breaking the fast properly. So the second day you said energy levels were still great. You were just craving food towards the end. Okay. For me too, the second day I was still, energy levels were peaking. I actually woke up at 3 a.m. I went to sleep at 10:30. I woke up at 3 thinking that it was like 6, ready to start my day. I go and look at my phone and I'm like, oh my God, it's only 3. What is going on? I felt like I could just go for a 5-mile run. And I was like, I need my sleep. So I went back to sleep and then woke up a little bit groggy. But as soon as I drank my coffee, which by the way, for my fast, I only stuck to drinking 3 cups of coffee, a black coffee. And I had the little salt tablet that you gave me, which is Element, correct? Mm-hmm. You take that often?
I do take it often. It's a lot of sodium, so I generally take half of one. And that's what I did on the fast as well. So for my fast, what I drank was black coffee and Himalayan pink salt. And then I would have a half of a packet of Element, and specifically Element, the unflavored one.
Yeah.
Because the flavored Element has 10 calories. The rule of thumb with fasting, 0 calories. So black coffee has 0 calories, pink salt has 0 calories, and then the unflavored Element has 0 calories.
How do you usually take your coffee? Because I usually take so I always say that I fast, I do my intermittent fasting, 16-hour intermittent fasting. And for me, it's okay to still, you're still reaping the benefits of the fasting where your insulin levels are low, but I still will put some drops of stevia in my coffee and a tidy, tidy, tidy bit of almond milk, and my insulin levels stay low. Mm-hmm. So if I was to put sugar, if I was to put a creamer in my coffee, I know I'm breaking the fast, but it is still a form of fasting when you're less than like 5 grams of sugar in your body or stevia in your body, because mm-hmm. it's not necessarily sugar.
I actually wore a glucose monitor for a couple weeks. Okay. And so I was able to track what spiked my glucose versus didn't. So what did spike my glucose was things like sugar and carbs, obviously. Yes. Things that didn't spike my glucose was the coffee that I drink. which the coffee I usually drink is bulletproof coffee with ghee, MCT oil. Okay. I've gotten into pistachio milk, which is incredible.
Okay.
And then a little bit of monk fruit sweetener or honey. And the fat tends to balance out any sugars such that it didn't cause any spike at all. Even though that didn't cause any spike, I still switched to black coffee during the fast because I didn't want all the calories from the fat and the sugar. And I wanted to keep it just zero calories. That's the simplest way to do
it. If we're doing the fast, we're doing it properly.
Yes.
I know someone asked me, why aren't you taking flavored electrolytes? I'm like, no, it has 10 calories mm-hmm. in it. I know it's not spiking my insulin levels, but if I'm doing this, I want to do a clean fast where it's only water, electrolytes with the zero calories, well, Himalayan salt, sea salt, and that's it. Black coffee, 3 cups of black coffee in the morning. I felt fine. I wasn't like freaking out or feeling agitated. And I think the reason why I wasn't successful with my 72-hour fast in terms of not feeling my best is because I never took electrolytes. I never at any point put salt in my water, and it was just strictly water and coffee, and the coffee dehydrates you. So there was no balancing out my electrolytes, hence why I felt like absolute shit the third day.
Major fasting hack.
Yeah, major.
Pink salt, electrolytes,
yes,
you need that.
You absolutely need it, especially right before your workout. That's the best, because we spoke about this in our previous video. Himalayan salt with water is the best pre-workout. So if you're taking it right before your workout, you're not going to get that feeling of feeling completely drained out. It's going to give you the energy you need to get through that workout and push through. But also, we need to keep in mind for the fast, the reason why we're having this insane peak of energy is because we're releasing ketones. And the reason why most people are sluggish throughout the day, and I know people that take 4 naps throughout the day, and I'm just like, what is going on? That's not normal. Mm. It is not normal for one to take 4 naps throughout the day. And then you go and look at their diet and you see they're constantly eating carbs. They're constantly snacking throughout the day, which is going to spike your insulin levels and then make you crash. And that's why you feel tired. So when you're removing carbs, which, I mean, we've removed everything during our fast, but the purpose of the fast too is to drop those insulin levels. And when you're removing carbs, the first thing your body is going to start releasing as fuel is going to be any carbohydrates that you've eaten from your previous meal. So for me, that pizza got rid, was getting burnt off within the first 10 hours of my fast. Then of course, it's going to tap in to your fat storage. So that usually happens during 24 hours. In fact, when I say, okay, people need to ease into the fasting if they do want to reap the benefits of start burning more fat. They want to start first with a 12-hour fast and then a 14-hour fast and then gradually increase it. I would never recommend to anyone to just jump into a 48-hour fast. That's when you know you're going to fail, and that's when you know you're going to probably end up like binge eating.
I agree. You should ease into it. And this is my third fast. The first 48-hour fast that I did was incredibly difficult. And the second one was easier. And the third one was even easier. So you really start to train your body and mind to be like, I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, the main part of easing into fasting. It's less for your body, and I think it's more for your mind.
Absolutely. And you know, if you had a body fat percentage of like, let's say 40%, you could survive 2 months without food. I can promise you, you can survive. Actually,
I wouldn't want to do that.
I wouldn't want you to do that either, but it's funny how actually people that do have a high body fat percentage would survive longer than someone that has a low body fat percentage. And let's say there was a shortage of food. So it's kind of crazy how the human body works. And another thing I've been asked before, is it safe to train while you're fasting? Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the most important thing to do while you're fasting. You don't want to just sit around and do nothing and be a vegetable all day long. One, you're going to constantly think about food. Mm-hmm. Two, that's when your metabolism slows down. As opposed to if you're working out, your body, you're sending a signal to your body. If we think about our ancestors, and people always say like, oh, but those are our ancestors. We've evolved as a human species. But at the end of the day, our DNA is very similar to our ancestors. And at the time, they would have to go and hunt for food, which means if you're putting your body under stress, you're running, you're trying to catch things, your brain is so freaking smart that it knows that it needs to help you boost your testosterone levels to help you build that muscle so you can go and catch and hunt for whatever it is that you're trying to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you're working out during your fast. Your testosterone levels increase, your growth hormone levels increase. And it's just, it's the best thing to do. Not any point throughout the day did I feel tired or lethargic after my workout. It felt amazing.
Agreed. I felt the times I felt the best the whole 2 days was right after my workout.
Yeah.
I felt incredible. So definitely recommend working out, because if I didn't work out, I think I would be more tired.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually surprised that I slept really well. The entire time I was worried that I was gonna be thinking about food, because this happened on my 72-hour fast. And once again, I think it's because I lacked minerals from the potassium and the Himalayan salt that I wasn't taking and balancing out my electrolytes. So I was just so worried that I was like, oh my God, is this going to interfere with my sleep? Then I'm gonna feel like shit the next morning. But first night, I got 8 hours of sleep. And then the second night, like I told you, I woke up at 3, but I still ended up getting 8 hours of sleep. So I felt amazing.
Sleep on fasting. So I wear the Oura Ring.
Okay.
And so I can track all these metrics on my sleep. So I look at it every morning. And while I was fasting, I had incredibly high Oura sleep scores.
Okay.
Like off the charts.
Better than the usual.
Better than the usual. And even the first night, I went to sleep really late, didn't sleep enough hours, but my score was still incredibly high because my sleep was so efficient. So I feel like the fasting helps me sleep even better.
Wow, interesting. Okay. We spoke about what we ate before we started our fast. How did you break? Well, we broke our fast together. What am I talking about? You were so excited. Okay, so I was at home my mom cooked the vegetables. My mom came to visit from LA. She made this nice pan full of vegetables. There was Brussels sprouts. There were sweet potatoes. What else did she throw on there? There was some goat cheese.
Goat cheese. She's
An
incredible cook. I was also coming off of fasting, but those are the best vegetables I've ever had.
Yeah, she's very humble about it, but she's a very good cook. And then we decided to have some steak, sweet potatoes for our carbs. And then I wanted my avocado, because I know they say when you break your fast, you're supposed to have healthy fats. So essentially mono and polysaturated fats. You do not want to have saturated or trans fat. That is a no, absolute no for when you're breaking your fast. Carbs, you want to stick to complex carbs, but not any sort of complex carbs. Usually they say sweet potato. And once again, Sylvia and I are just talking about our experience with the fast, we've gained knowledge and information from books, articles, podcasts we've read, and we're following along with that information, and we're testing it out for ourselves to see how we feel the next day. And I feel like how we broke the fast was the absolute best way to do it. I felt amazing this morning. I felt amazing. So we had steak, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, goat cheese. I had my eggs.
And avocado.
And avocado. And I feel like we're missing something else. Bone broth, yes. You had us chug some bone broth right after the fast. I didn't know much about this, and I did go and look into it, and it says that with the bone broth, it's good to have because you're not going straight into your meal where you're feasting off of the steak and the sweet potatoes. An hour before just putting that bone broth into your body, you're slowly getting the amino acids from the bone broth, the minerals, and then an hour later, we ate our steak and our carbs and our fat.
Yes. Yeah, I find bone broth is a really gentle way to come out of a fast. It feels very enriching. It tastes incredible.
It really
just is like a very nice way to ease your body back into food. If I jumped straight to the steak and sweet potatoes, it may have been a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I like to do bone broth is the break of the fast. Then you wait an hour. Then you eat a full meal. Some, healthy fats, steak, sweet potatoes, avocado, vegetables. That's what we had afterwards. And that felt incredible. I didn't feel overwhelmed. I just felt full and happy to be eating. And yeah, my body felt amazing after that meal.
I'm sure most people that saw our pictures or videos that I posted on the story, they were like, damn, these girls are like overdoing it with food. That is just a quarter of what I usually eat for dinner. I eat so much. Like my mom even told you, I eat like 2,000 calories a day. And that meal alone, okay, probably 800 calories, but knowing me, even if I didn't fast, I would have ate way more for my dinner. So that wasn't binging. I don't want anyone to think that the steak and the avocado and the eggs was a form of binging. That's what I would have usually eaten on a normal day.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of food, but it was just steak, tons of vegetables. Yes. That's really all it was.
Exactly.
And so it was, it looked like a lot of food, but it was the perfect amount. Mine, I believe, was a total of 650 calories total that I ate afterwards, and it was the perfect amount.
Okay, realistically speaking, both of our insulin levels are pretty low. We don't consume a lot of carbs. We're not eating processed foods all the time. I mean, if you open our refrigerator, there's like literally nothing that's processed besides, I mean, everything is processed, but to a minimum amount. So since we're already essentially healthy, even breaking the fast with some carbs, because they say to not break the fast with carbs, especially for someone that is trying to lose weight and drop body fat, the carbs is something you need to slowly ease into. They recommend doing high protein, high fat meals for the first 2 days and then slowly include the carbs. Reason being, if you're doing a 32-hour fast, if you're doing a 48-hour fast, some people do a 72-hour fast, your cells are shrinking. So you're getting rid of that water retention. You're also releasing a lot of electrolytes unless you're replenishing your body, but your cells are shrinking. And if you were to just go and throw in for your first meal something full of salt or sugar, your cells are going to increase and you're going to gain all the weight back. So that's why they recommend to slowly ease into it. But we don't have a problem with carbs. I mean, we both have a very low intake with carbs, so we did it the right way, even if we had some sweet potatoes.
Absolutely. And sweet potatoes is generally our primary form of carbs.
Yes.
That exactly. Meal was actually a pretty typical meal for us. So protein, fat, vegetables, yeah. And a little bit of carbs with those sweet potatoes. So that's pretty typical for
yes.
us.
Yeah. But yes, you do not want to break the fast with Chipotle, with McDonald's, with pizza. Pizza like I did. Well, I started my fast with that. And nothing sugary. You want to completely avoid that. If you want to do this properly, you really need to pay attention to the foods that you're putting in your body. And I feel like everything we listed was what people should include when they're breaking their fast and when they're doing an intermittent fasting. That's my first meal is always half avocado, 3 eggs. Not that this applies to everyone, but what I usually have, half avocado, 3 eggs, egg whites. And then depending on, because I carb cycle, depending on my day, if I'm hitting lower body and doing a lot of cardio, I'll eat some rice cakes with that. But that's my first meal. I eat that religiously.
I think that's a good call out. How you break a fast can apply to a 8-hour fast mm-hmm. or a 48-hour fast. Every time you eat breakfast or whatever your first meal of the day is, it should follow the same system. Healthy fats, protein, minimal carbs. That's the best way to break any fast of any length.
One thing we didn't touch upon, or I didn't speak about, is the neurogenesis that comes along with fasting in terms of rebuilding new neurons. There have been studies where they say that it's not possible, that once your neurons are damaged, you cannot rebuild new ones. And they have done other studies when it comes to fasting that they say that it's actually possible to build neurons in the brain, which is fascinating to me because for the longest time we thought like, okay, if the brain is damaged, there's no repairing to it. The neuroplasticity of that brain is completely done. And fasting, there has been research that it actually helps with that as well, which is incredible.
That is incredible. Just the whole concept of autophagy is incredible. Your body's ability to heal itself is incredible. And we live in this society where medicine is the cure for everything. And it's just such a beautiful way to tap into your own medicine and heal yourself. It's so powerful. And it's freaking free. You save some money on food.
Yeah, but it's too hard for people. Everyone likes the easy way, you know? Mm-hmm. Take a pill, lose weight. Mm-hmm. No, we don't want to go to the gym. That's too hard. Let me just take a pill. Whether or not they should fast, how long they should do it. Once again, we are not doctors. I am not pushing this on anyone. We gained a lot of good feedback with our bodies, how it responds to the fasting, my focus with the fasting, losing that water retention, and just My face too healed. So check with your doctor. But if fasting is something that you want to start doing, I would highly recommend to start with a 12-hour fast and then slowly increase it every 2 or 3 days. And the 72-hour fast, we did a 48-hour fast. That is something that I don't recommend doing every week. There are people that do it every week, which is crazy to me.
Wow.
Yeah, people do it every week. People do it once a month. And then there are people that do it every 3 months. I'm going to stick to every 6 months. I feel like that's my spot right there where I don't need to do it every 3 months unless I really need it.
For me personally, I love to fast every month. So right now I'm fasting every month. I fasted the last 3 months. I'll fast the next 3 months. But I'll continue to check in with myself and see how I'm feeling. If that feels like too much, I'll dial it back. But right now, it's a really nice cycle for me to just constantly be hitting reset.
And for me, the intermittent fasting that I've been doing now consistently for a year and a half has drastically changed my life in every aspect. Mm-hmm. I was never able to focus in the morning on my work, constantly got distracted. I did feel sluggish throughout the day. And ever since I removed my breakfast because I didn't need it, I just thought I needed it because of the psychological factor and social aspects that we have in our society, I removed the breakfast. And now it's like I stop eating at 9 at night and my first meal will be around 2 or 3 p.m. And I feel amazing in the morning. Intermittent fasting, that is something I definitely recommend to do daily, even if it's a 16 or 18 hour fast.
If you have done a fast, please share your experience in the comments. If you have not done a fast and you're interested, share why.
Share your why. We want to know and we want to help. All right, thanks guys. We'll see you for the next episode.